Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The illogical love of God. That's our sermon theme for today. Now, for something to be illogical, it means that it goes against human reason, or a better way is just to simply say, it doesn't make any sense. And that's what you get with God's love. It doesn't make any sense. So listen to that verse again that I just read. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That makes no sense at all. It said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While. That makes no sense. In fact, when you look at the whole text that was just read earlier, it says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. While. That makes no sense. It's completely and totally illogical. Now it makes sense if it said that God waited until after. After we met a certain criteria, then he would love us. Then he would die for us. That kind of love makes sense to us. That would be logical. In fact, we have a name for that. We call it conditional love. Now, we all know how to operate with conditional love. We all know what it's like to be loved with conditional love. It's a love that comes not while, but rather after. After you meet that certain criteria, after you meet that certain condition. Then you will be loved. After you make the team, after you hear what you failed to do correctly, after you get the job, after you've been criticized, after you behave, after you've been compared to someone else, after you get the grade, after you do what you've been told you're supposed to do, after you become like someone else wants you to be, and the list goes on. Does this resonate with anyone? It does with me. Love with conditions makes sense to us. But as we know too well, love with conditions can be painful. Because love with conditions can lead to doubt. It can lead to despair. It can lead to uncertainty. And that list goes on as well. And so we get it in our minds when we live under these terms of love with conditions. We get it in our minds that we need to do more. We need to try harder. We do anything and everything trying to fulfill these conditions or fulfill these criteria in order to be loved. And so what we do as we try harder, as we do more, is that we exhaust ourselves. We exhaust ourselves as we are longing, as we are hoping, as we are wondering, will I ever add up? Will I ever be enough? Ever ask one of those questions? Will I ever add up? Will I ever be enough? And a lot of times that's how we enter in these doors of the church, asking those questions, thinking that we've fallen short. And rightfully so, because we have. We have fallen short, and so we come in here and we are beat down, we are broken. It is just as our text says, and as the law shows to us, that we are who the law says we are, that we are weak, we are sinners, and we are enemies. We are enemies of God. And yet, our natural inclination at this point, when we are exposed with being weak, when we are exposed with being sinners, when we are exposed with being enemies of God, our natural inclination is to dig our heels in. Because, are there any stubborn people out there? Our natural inclination is to dig our heels in and pull ourselves up by our proverbial bootstraps. Because we don't want to admit that we're weak. We don't want to admit that we are sinners. And we certainly don't want to admit that we are enemies of God. We'd much rather live in denial, that we've got everything figured out, that we are strong people, that we are definitely not sinners, and we're definitely not enemies of God. And so we're going to do more. We're going to try harder. We're going to exhaust ourselves all the more. We're going to turn inward rather than turning upward. And the image that comes to mind in all of this is that wonderful hamster in the wheel that is running 100 miles an hour and getting absolutely nowhere. So the question comes in, are any of you exhausted? Are any of you longing for the crushing weight of the law to be lifted with all of its conditions and all of its condemnation to finally be lifted? Does this resonate with anyone? But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As I thought about this sermon, I just got more and more confused. I actually got more and more frustrated. I was on a walk with my father-in-law, and as you know, he's a pastor as well. And I was talking to him about it, and I said, "Dad, it just doesn't make any sense. God's love makes no sense whatsoever." "Pastor, not still doesn't make any sense. I just don't get it." And I kept thinking back on my life, and maybe you've done that before. Sometimes it can be kind of nice. A lot of times it's not really that nice and everything. And so I'm looking back on my life, and I kept thinking about all of the stupid things that I have done. I have been so bitter, so angry, so lustful, so greedy, so arrogant, so prideful, so gluttonous, so hateful. And I know you'd probably like to hear all of the details of all those stories that came into my mind, but Lutherans like short sermons, so we're going to keep this short and we'll spare those details. But the point I kept coming to is that I am a poor, miserable sinner. How could God love me after all of what I have done? As I kept having all of those things go through my mind, of all those things that I have done and all those things that I have failed to do, it makes no sense. How could He love me? But He does. Even though I am weak, even though I'm a sinner, even though I am His enemy, He loves me, He forgives me, He died for me, He saves me. It makes no sense, and yet He still loves me. And the same is true for you. No matter what your past looks like, are you here longing to be loved? And are you left wondering if you need to meet some sort of criteria or condition first, or else you are going to be condemned? You have come to the right place. God does not wait for you to act first. He doesn't say to you, get your life fixed and then I will love you. He takes the initiative. He doesn't expect you to do more and to try harder. This is a place where you get to rest in the pierced hands of Jesus. This is a place where you get to fall. You get to collapse into the arms that were stretched on Calvary for you. This is a place where you are not condemned. This is a place where Jesus can't help but just pour out his love upon you because that's who he is. Need a picture? I want you to think of a little child that's just been told that they have a surprise, but they can't tell the surprise until the person gets home. Now, we've all seen what a little child does when they have a surprise, but they've been told that they have to wait to tell it. That child has in them an explosion about ready to go off. And about every 5 seconds, they're about, can I tell it? Can I tell it? Can I tell it? Can I tell it? And everything, is the person here? Is the person here? Is the person here? Is the person here? And they're looking out the window and they're looking out the window and they're like, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. And everything. And all of a sudden that person comes through the door and the explosion goes off and the surprise comes out. That's the way it is with Jesus. Jesus can't wait for you to get here and come through those doors because he can't wait for you to just come and hear the good news that he has for you, which is, I love you and I can't wait to give you my forgiveness. And I know that you've been beaten down by yet another week and I've got the good news of the absolution, which is the forgiveness of your sins. And I know that you have all of this burden weighing down upon you. And I know that you have all these things in your life and you think you've got to get it all figured out. But guess what? This is a place where you get to fall. This is a place where you collapse. And this is a place where Jesus catches you. This is a place. Well, did you ever wonder? Did you ever wonder why the service begins with the confession and absolution? It's because just because you've been longing for that opportunity to just kind of just get it all off your chest, it's because he can't wait to take it from you. He can't wait to be able to take all of those sins, even though they're not his to actually take. He didn't do the sinning. That's what we did. And yet he says, I want to take them upon my shoulders. I want to take them upon this cross. And I want to give you my gift of my love and my forgiveness. And that includes all the sins that have been committed against you as well. You get the forgiveness of your sins. You get the healing of all the sins committed against you. Like I said, it's totally illogical. It makes no sense. The illogical love of God totally blows our minds. That's the way it is with Jesus. Just think. There it was on that Friday that it was called Good. And there Jesus is. He's up on that cross. And he's weak and he's weary. He's been beaten. He's been bruised. He's been bloodied. And there he is. And he's got all these people walking by. And what are they doing? They're mocking him. I mean, I can't even understand it. And yet they're mocking him. And they've got him up on the cross. And they're beating him while he's down. They're kicking him while he's down. And this is what he says. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. He should have unleashed his wrath upon them for what they did. That's what he should do with us too. He should unleash his wrath upon us. And yet, what do we get? We get the illogical love of God. It makes no sense. And it doesn't have to. And he gives it to us anyway. You want to know what's really cool? Is that not only does he give it to us, but he gives it through us as well. That love is so abundant that he gives it to us to share with other people. He calls us to be his instrument to share it with others. So I'm on the phone with my father-in-law again, because we talk about these sermons like every week. And we're talking, and he goes, Adam, you know what would be cool? He didn't put it that way, but I'm saying it that way. But he says, wouldn't it be awesome if we prayed, God, transform our love to be illogical toward others? I said, Dad, that would be a cool prayer. And it would. Because guess what? We need help to have illogical love toward others. Because some people, I don't know about you, but I've got people in my life that it's really tough to love them. They're not easy to love. So I need some help to love them in an illogical way, a godly way. And so as we close today, I want you to think about someone that you need some help with to love in an illogical way, in a godly way. And we're going to pray that prayer that my father-in-law mentioned there. And I'm going to pause at the end. And in the quiet of your heart, I'm not going to have you say it out loud, because it might be the person, like, I don't know, next year or something. Everything. But I want you, in the quiet of your heart, to say that name or maybe those names. And then I'm going to close with, in the name of Jesus, amen. And I want you to keep praying that prayer as long as it takes, a day, the rest of your life, to keep asking for God's help, that you could have that illogical love of God to love others as Christ has loved you.